Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Readiness Report with me, Ready Tlhabi, and the Daily Maverick, brought to you by the Frederick Newman Foundation. We try to understand the world around us to find out how things that are happening in South Africa and in other parts of the world affect us. And this week, I thought, as a visitor to the United States, I live and work here with my family, I have had to learn a lot about my new environment. The same happened when I moved to London to go study and work. You find out what the cultures of your environment are, what issues people care about, what are their practices, what are the things that they are anxious and sensitive about, what to say, what not to say. It's not unusual to learn. In fact, it's gracious to learn when you are a visitor what the do's and don'ts are. Now, we have a new U.S. ambassador to South Africa. Barely 2 weeks into his position, he has gone and put his foot in it. That's the expression, right? I think you have to be a little merciful and see him, Ambassador Bozell, as an intern. He's never been a diplomat. He literally has 2 weeks' experience as an intern. And so maybe for the purposes of international cooperation and giving the intern a chance to grow into his job, it may be useful to just share a few tips. You're welcome to add yours in the comments sections or whatever. I've written an opinion piece about it, but I thought I could just share a few tips for him on podcast. Let me just say, we have a historic experience with an ambassador being called by Pretoria to come and explain themselves. And it is US ambassadors at all times. Remember when Donald Trump called African countries shithole countries? We didn't have an ambassador then. It was in the first term. We didn't have the ambassador then. Patrick Gaspard, who was a phenomenal ambassador appointed by Obama in his second term, had just left. And he left an equally phenomenal career diplomat. I was said to hear that she has left the State Department, Jessie Le Pen. Jessie is progressive. She's tough. She's smart, compassionate. And she is one of those diplomats who really embedded themselves in our society. I know for a fact that Jessie Le Pen supported multiple causes in our communities, working with professionals, with civil society, with activists and with youth in the area of education, gender-based violence. That's how I met her. I was still a talk show host at 702. And I remember this energized woman who wanted to just do something, who wanted to respond to the needs of her host country and be a partner, not in a condescending way, but be a partner and try to move us forward together. So she's one of the most impressive diplomats that I've encountered at the US Embassy. And there have been many, guys. There have been many over the years. And that is why I am finding this whole contrived in a sense that it is deliberately created chaos. There has never been a problem between South Africa and the diplomatic mission, the US diplomatic mission in Pretoria. We had the most acerbic disagreements with the ambassador at the time of the Iraq war. I remember I was a journalist at the SABC. Colin Powell, the then Secretary of State, came to South Africa with George W. Bush Jr. on a state visit. This is so long ago, over a consequential matter. South Africa under President Thabo Mbeki had a different position on the war on Iraq. So did our retired president at the time, Nelson Mandela, had a different position. But the sky didn't fall down. There were no insults traded. So all these people who are playing on to Trump is going to punish you, kill the Boer, just creating such chaos that is damaging to our bilateral relations. Do you actually think this is the first time that there've been tensions between South Africa as a state and the US? It's not the first time. Over China and Taiwan, we've had differences. What was his name again? Bill Clinton and Mandela were this close. They loved each other professionally and personally. But Mandela wagged his finger back at Clinton when Clinton tried to wag his finger back. So can you all just calm down? You are creating this chaos and the ugliness. You are asking questions that have nothing to do with state policy. Kill the Boer is not state policy. I've never sung that song. My mother has never sung it. Neither have my grandparents. A lot of people in my socials like, we don't care about the song. And in fact, many Black people think it has no place in South African society. But when you go and argue in a court of law, this country where I live and work values freedom of speech, even freedom of speech that is insulting. They value it. Come to America and try and gag people. You know that's what's happening. So you've got a small opposition party that continues to sing the song. Officially, it's not being sung. They won their case in court. I'm not a lawyer. I'm sure the lawyers sparred against each other, and it was ruled in favor of. You don't have to like it. I don't like it. This one doesn't like it. This one likes it. Can we just get on with what's important? Why would you, South Africans, 2 weeks after a new ambassador arrives, ask him to opine on Kill the Boer as if it is the most important thing in our national consciousness? It is not. You are deliberately trying to cause gack. That's what you're doing. You're deliberately trying to cause gack and create the storm. And then sadly, the ambassador who's new to the job just walked into a situation that he knows so little about. What is Bozell's history? He denounced the anti-apartheid struggle. That's a fact. But do you see South Africans slamming him for that? South Africa didn't block him. He could have been blocked for some of the things he said about Nelson Mandela. When Nelson Mandela died, he said, we are mythologizing him, basically saying he's not the icon that he is being made out to be. Did you see South Africa in this current administration reminding him of that? No, they accepted his credentials and kept things moving. But the same didn't happen with Ibrahim Rasool. And you're all a bunch of hypocrites. You supported the expulsion of Rasool from the US because he insulted Trump. But here you are defending Ambassador Bozell, who is wagging his finger, telling us that he doesn't care about our courts. That's what he said. He's not being reprimanded because of Kill the Boer. It's because in that context, he then made a statement that he doesn't care about the courts. And that is sacrosanct to our identity as South Africans. You will protect him because you align with him, because he looks like you. He's a pale white male. You will protect him. But you want Rasool to be kicked for similar transgression. Stop this hypocrisy. Just stop it. It is 2026 already. Grow up. Grow up. Don't ask him questions that are not relevant. What is state policy? What are the weaknesses in South Africa? And there are many. Where is the leadership dropping the ball? And what can we do together to strengthen our bilateral relations? That's what matters here. Bozell's son was convicted. He was one of the people who stormed the Capitol on January 6, 2021. He wasn't convicted of one felon or two or three. It was 10 criminal charges. He was convicted. Okay? But he was pardoned by Donald Trump. Do you see South Africans throwing that in their face? Nobody's throwing that in Bozell's face. We're not questioning his morality to a point of wanting to get him kicked out. But if the tables had been turned, an ambassador appointed here in Washington, whose son was pardoned because of political proximity and privilege, you would have been making a noise asking for that South African ambassador to be expelled from Washington. Applying double standards when it comes to South Africans who are black and Americans who are white and are found guilty of even serious, serious crimes. Okay? So nobody's throwing that in his face. In fact, South Africa is just looking forward. I just think that we need to address something. An ambassador who comes to a country needs to be culturally sensitive. But under Donald Trump, we have seen in the past month alone, an ambassador, a US ambassador to France, that is the father-in-law, you know, these nepotism relationships, you kind of forget who's who in the Zoom. So Donald Trump's daughter is married, right, to Keshna, whatever his name is. And even the father-in-law was convicted of one or other crime. These people have such colorful histories. The father-in-law of Donald Trump's daughter was convicted of something. And Donald Trump pardoned him and made him the US ambassador to France. Yeah, so that's the trend. It is in France, the US ambassador is Charles Kushner. You can Google him. He had a criminal record. Donald Trump pardoned him. You would not tolerate that if it were a South African. But here you are, tearing your own country apart to protect people who have broken the law and they've used political power to get off the hook. It's acceptable to you because they look like you and they advance your politics. It is rotten. It is wrong. Anyway, Charles Kushner found himself rebuked in France. It wasn't just a rebuke. They blocked his access to ministers for ignoring a summons. He was summoned in the way that Bozell was summoned to answer questions around interference and some of the stuff that he said that was inappropriate. He didn't come, so they blocked him. It is far more heated than what's happening in South Africa. In Poland, the prime minister in Poland, Donald Tusk, yeah, that's his name, Donald Tusk, and members of parliament also publicly chastised the US ambassador, Tom Rose. What did Tom Rose do? He also issued some insults and threats that were unbecoming of a diplomat. So Ambassador Bozell is in good company, and South Africa is not doing anything that is untoward or anything that nobody else has done before. Okay? So when an ambassador is on our shores and he declares that he doesn't care about our constitution, don't be flippant about it. It speaks to our hard-won freedom. And I know there are many of you who criticize the constitution, as you should, because we are a noisy, robust democracy. But those of you who appreciate what it took to put this constitution together after decades, if not centuries, of being polarized along racial lines, geography, tribes, class, gender, you name it, it is really something to behold that we came up with what was described or is being described as the most progressive constitution in the world. And the fact that we have the ANC in the last 31, 32 years dropping the ball does not negate the fact that this constitution is sacrosanct. It was hard won by our ancestors. And some of us have parents who never got to vote in the country of their birth, who never finished school, who were forcibly removed from their homes to make way for the ghettos and the townships, the urban, the apartheid spatial planning that put our grandparents far away from their places of work. This is where we come from. That's what the Constitution means to us. If you don't care about it, we care about it. So a tip for the new ambassador, he must come to the space with an acute understanding of the visceral loss and oppression, the indignity to which we're subjected, and why these symbols of our nationhood matter to us. So you don't say you don't care about the courts without triggering outrage. We don't like it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Okay?
Hi, Readiness Report listener. I am the host of the Let's Talk Human Rights podcast. On this show, we talk about real issues affecting people's freedom, dignity, and equal rights across Africa. If you want to learn more about human rights and how it connects with you, then listen in and join in the conversation.
Number two, as a tip, don't align yourself to people who reinforce your worldview. There is nothing as diminishing to us as human beings, as professionals, as intellectuals, as parents, as friends, if we only expose ourselves to people who believe what we believe. Arriving in South Africa and going to the Apartheid Museum was the right thing to do. Seeing other colleagues is the right thing to do. Going to BizNews and sitting with a mainly pale audience, that's fine, freedom of association. But as long as you know that that's not the complete story of South Africa, adopting the utterances of the lunatic fringe, and I'm talking about the kill the Boer white genocide people, I'm not talking about the people who had BizNews, but to align yourself and take foreign policy cues from such people, they've already misled you by making it look like the kill the Boer matter was looming so large on our national discourse. It wasn't. They are making it an issue because it's just a stick that they can use to be manipulative. And we are the biggest critics of our government. Nelson Mandela was hauled to court and he responded. Thabo Mbeki's administration taken to court to provide ARVs. South Africans march against their government all the time. They take leadership to court. The Nkandla scandal, Jacob Zuma parliament in the ANC received a scathing ruling Who can forget the former Chief Justice Mogoeng Mogoeng in that historic seminal judgment, reminding Zuma that as the President of the Republic, you are a constitutional being. Zuma has been ordered to pay costs. The fact that he ignores rulings doesn't mean that the courts have not found him accountable. They have tried to hold him accountable. They've even sent him to jail. Okay? So all I'm saying is that we are not a nation that needs to be lectured about democracy because we hold our leaders accountable. The outcome of the elections over the years show you that South Africans act. Why does the ANC not have a two-thirds majority today? Precisely because citizens are holding them accountable. So you don't have an ambassador who comes from a country where the Department of Justice is redacting important Epstein files that go to the heart of the abuse of power. January 6 rioters, including his son, pardoned. Ubiquitous gun violence, children being killed at school. You revere the ownership of guns, the right to bear arms, but you're going to accuse us of mythologizing Mandela. So just tread carefully and come with some cultural awareness, sensitivity, and some humility about the weaknesses in your own country. We are not allergic to criticism. I've built my career on criticizing the ANC, and I'm not done yet. I'm not done. The water crisis, load shedding, corruption, appointing people who have been found wanting. Right now, I wake up to news that the former Minister of Higher Education, who was fired a couple of months ago, has now been appointed the Deputy Chief Whip. Do you think we're going to keep quiet about this? We're not going to keep quiet. But understand history. Understand the extraordinary sacrifices that were made. Understand that we have a president, a former president who went to visit Betsy Verwoerd, the widow of Hendrik Verwoerd, the architect of apartheid. We know how to travel across difference and speak to each other and find each other amidst this particular noise. Focus on areas where we can collaborate. I told you about Ambassador Gaspard. I told you about Ambassador, Jesse Le Pen. There was Ambassador Bost before that. There were so many of them, Republicans and Democrats, working with South Africa in health, youth, entrepreneurship, women empowerment, the environment, you name it. We can still find each other and not have these skirmishes. But don't be condescending. Don't come with the bus mentality. It makes us mad because it's got a historic context. We don't respond well to, I'm going to tell you what to do. I'm not happy about your government. You will stop doing that. We do not respond to that, dear ambassador. There is a cultural nuance that you must be mindful of. South Africans do not appreciate being yelled at. They don't appreciate the condescending tone. Blame it on apartheid. Blame it on colonialism. There's a long and exhausting history of Black people in particular being treated like children in the land of their birth. It's not going to go down well. It didn't go down well. That's why we had the anti-apartheid struggle. And even today, it will not go down well. We had struggles against colonialism. They were exactly about rejecting this bus mentality. Okay? And then the next thing that I want to say to the ambassador is that we are a nation that is kind and generous. South Africans will invite you to their homes. They will share their meals with you. They will show curiosity about who you are and where you come from. They are forgiving. And sometimes I think that's a weakness. The kinds of things we have forgiven from politicians who've stolen from us, from business people who are unscrupulous, yet they re-emerge and they hold public office and life goes on. I hate that element of South Africans. We need to be tougher than that and less generous and less welcoming to people who harm us and violate our constitution. But what I'm getting at is that the ambassador must know that South Africans know how to start over. They know how to start over. Find allies, build bridges, walk across that bridge to understand who we are, what we are about. Align yourself with plurality, not these people who are lying to the world about how they are being oppressed and how we are the whole nation is up in arms waiting to kill them. That's BS. It's nonsense. You have a big job. It is a very turbulent time in the geopolitical space. There's a lot of fragmentation. There are a lot of opportunities. There's a lot of work cut out for you that you can rise to the occasion and have one of the most successful terms as the ambassador. You are also vulnerable because the US is going into midterms. Who knows how that will change the face and the power structures in your own country. In 2 years, the cycle is so short, it will be elections. You are a political appointee. So if the Republicans don't prevail in 2028, you can find yourself back in the US and they'd be a new ambassador. Or even if the Republicans prevail, they may prefer a different ambassador. You are there for a very short time. Use it wisely. Don't come at us with a bus mentality. Don't undermine our courts. Don't rely on the fringe to set national agendas, narrative strategies, engagement tools. Have an appetite for a wide array of voices. Number four, be mindful at all times of our history. If you do that, you'll get far. That's the Readiness Report, guys. Thanks for joining me.